Welcome to Decadent and Depraved, the Kentucky Horse Racing Podcast. My name's Duncan, as always, joined by my good friends Alex, Jacob, and John Mark. On this episode, we are going to be covering the G1 Florida Derby taking place this Saturday. If you're interested in the Arkansas Derby, we did cover that on another podcast, so go check that one out too. Big race, $1 million purse, grade one, like I said, mile and an eighth. It is race 14 this Saturday, but first, we need the weather for Florida.
I don't even have that pulled up.
Can I get a guess?
Yeah.
Jacob was about to say it. I'm going to go 79 and sunny.
That sounds right. Maybe chance of rain.
It always
probably a quick shower come through.
What city in Florida is this?
Miami,
Florida. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. 77 and sunny.
Damn. Okay. I mean,
just, did you look it up or something?
No, I didn't.
Your guess. Yeah, just guess what Miami weather would be.
Welcome to Miami.
In early April, or late March. But yeah, going a mile and an eighth here at Gulfstream Park for $1 million. 100 points to the winner. Yeah, should be a good old race. Yeah, I don't think there's a forte in this race like last year,
nope.
Or a mage for that matter.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, but still a great field.
Don't bring that horse's name up. I hate mage. I hate him. I agree. Not
still
a forte.
A year later, and it's just still burning like it was yesterday.
Through my heart every time. Yeah. Pisses me off. But I would agree with you, Jacob. I don't think there's that horse in here, but there's still a very, very competitive field. I think we got a couple derby runners in here. Like Jacob said, going a mile and eighth, grade one race, going for $1 million. That's awesome. We will take it to the number one here for Frankie's Empire. That is Michael Yates, and Miguel Vasquez is aboard. Interesting dynamic here. A, this horse is not Triple Crown nominated. B, this horse has already been claimed in its career, which you don't see running in races like this a whole lot. Ran a pretty impressive third to Dornock and Lodombro in the Fountain of Youth. I don't know how strong Dornock is, if we're being honest here. But this horse is 12-1 on the morning line. Probably a little too light for me. If you gave me 20, I might consider it underneath, but I think 12, I'm tossing.
Yeah, so that Fountain of Youth was what, just like four horses in the race. It was kind of odd with the
five scratches.
There. I don't know how good Dornock is either, or Frankie's Empire for that matter. I mean, that was his eighth race out, and he's not even Triple Crown nominated. I'd probably toss him. Do we have a morning line?
Yeah, I said 12-1.
12-1, sorry.
Which, like I said,
not the worst.
At 12-1, if you gave me 20.
11 horse field?
Yeah,
sure.
I actually don't think 12-1 is the worst. I don't think this is the deepest competition by any means, especially for a G1. I mean, you definitely have Fierceness and Hades in here. But other than that, I mean, I do feel like it's a little bit open for that potential second or third place. Don't hate Frankie's Empire 12-1. I mean, we're also talking about a horse that consistently hits 90 speed figures, too, in late pace. So I don't think that this is out of the question for this horse to come in third. And I actually kind of like the outside play of 12-1. I will say, to play devil's advocate with myself, you don't see a horse claimed on the trail too often. Not Triple Crown nominated. So clearly this is going to be the source of pinnacle.
And early in its career, running at Monmouth, Delaware Park, and Parks.
Yeah, but stepped it up running at Gulfstream.
Agreed, and that's where he's ran his best. So
yeah, and you know, went off at 14-1, won a race, but you know, beat Lodombro and Grammo the first. I don't really know if that's good competition or not, but I mean, had a good speed figure when doing it. I don't know. I'm 50-50. I can't decide.
I think John Mark said it best when if he's up at 20-1 for the number one Frankie's Empire, worth betting, worth looking at. But that'll take us to the number two, Hades. This is a real wild card horse for me personally. So he has 20 points on the Road to Kentucky Derby right now. So needs points. You're probably looking at probably 45, maybe 50 to make the Derby right now. He kind of wants to be part of the pace, it looks like. Problem is, he's going against a much tougher pace and much tougher competition than he's ran in before. So what's a morning line odds for the number two Hades?
7-2.
Okay. Yeah, I mean 3.5-1. I don't hate it. One every time out at pretty good speed figures. Last time out, the Holy Bull at almost 10-1 odds over domestic product and fierceness. Impressive run. I think fierceness has better days ahead of him, even with a slip up there. So personally, I'm probably keeping him on top.
I don't disagree with you, Jacob. This horse, he's undefeated. You've got to love that. And then not only is he undefeated, he's won, you know, at least a graded 3-stakes race, but his lay pace is just phenomenal, and it keeps improving over time. I think with his win over the number 10 fierceness as well, I think it's a great horse in this race. Great. If I get him at, you know, 5-1 or something.
That'd be awesome. I do think he's going to sit a perfect little stocking trip there from the two-hole, too. That's definitely going to help him kind of just sit there, middle of the pack, get a nice little inside rail.
I'm almost worried about the distance, but he won by 2 lengths last time out, going mile and 16th. So looks like he can get it done.
The further he goes, the better he does, faster he goes against better competition. So, I mean, if he makes this step up, it would be quite the eye-opener. If he won the Florida Derby after this run, bought for a little over $100,000, it'd be quite the story going into the Derby.
Agreed. And feel as if his luck may run out here.
Yeah.
No. I feel as if it may run out here. I could be wrong, but that's just where my guts got me right now. So, all right. We'll head to – oh, sorry, Duncan. Go on the two. My bad.
No, I like him, and I also just want to – the only extra comment I have is I just want to commend Jacob because he'd only been 2 times out, and he raced in the Holy Bull G3, and Jacob picked him over Fierceness that day, which was
– I did.
Quite the play, and Hades went off at, like you said, almost 10-1, and – look, I disagree. I think this horse is legit in a late bloomer, and that's what you want. And the long layoff, so could see. I think this horse will be in the Lexington or the Bluegrass Stakes, though.
I would agree. They're going to probably have to go get more points.
I'm calling a scratch.
Ooh.
And go to the Bluegrass.
No, I disagree.
I disagree as well. Right now, he's sitting in 21st.
He's got a good shot here.
He's sitting in 21st place with 20 points.
That might be the worst take Duncan's ever had. this is a horse that's only ran at Gulfstream.
I got to commend Jacob.
It only ran at Gulfstream.
That is the last fucking time I am ever like, yeah, Jacob picked this horse.
Commending Jacob to Jacob returning just absolute
hate. See our relationship. It doesn't even matter.
Duncan's worst. Take
it comes on what I think happens, like I said, 20 points right now, probably need 25 or 30 more to really solidify himself in the Derby. Mind you, these races give out 100 to the winner, 50 to second, 25 to third. I think he hits the board here regardless, and it's going to be second time off the layoff going into the Derby, and I think he's going to be set up perfectly.
All right,
I love it. We'll head on down to the three. Bayless out for Todd Pletcher, Irad Ortiz Jr. Give me a morning line guess, boys.
He would need a big jump up here. I would say 20-1. Todd Pletcher and Irad will get him bet down less than that, though.
No, he's morning line 10-1. He's got to be. Todd Alex? Pletcher, Irad.
15-1.
Look at Mr. Alex cutting it. Right down the middle of the 20-1 and the 10-1, 15-1 is the morning line here on number $1 bail us out. So I will agree, big step up needed, especially. I mean, he broke his maiden back February 3rd on the all weather, the Tapita down at Gulfstream. So I think that's tough. Jose Ortiz has been aboard. I think Irad's solely on board here because it's Todd Pletcher. I don't think this horse makes it to the Derby or gets close.
I don't think so either.
I know it's a Rapoli horse, obviously, as well.
Look, if you're giving me any Rapoli, Todd Pletcher, Irad Ortiz, that threesome on any horse at 15-1, I'm fucking hammering him. Especially including him in my trap. But this is a horse that he's made for turf or synthetic. So. Yeah. Was actually pointing towards Turfway last weekend and did not have enough to qualify, actually, because they...
For the Jeff Ruby Stakes?
Correct. They upped their standard. So, yeah. So
then all right.
He ends up here for Pletcher. I think this is a horse that he's just kind of trying to throw in there. Maybe he...
It's also a $1 million purse. I mean, if you can get into this race, why not? And you feel like you have a shot, you know what I mean? Like, it's... This is one of the best races you can put your horse in.
No, yeah. Wise.
So, but I will say, there were some pretty bad horses in the Jeff Ruby Stakes.
There were.
So, if you didn't have enough... That's a very good tidbit to have, Jacob. If you didn't have enough points to qualify for that...
And
I don't see you doing too well in the four today.
And a third place finish here might not qualify him for the Derby, but it would possibly qualify him to be in one of the turf races leading up in the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like this horse started so late. Like just looking at his career, December, February, kind of looks like it's gearing up to more of these summer races for 3-year olds and things like that. Not really the Triple Crown, even though it is Triple Crown nominated.
Yeah, I would agree. So, all right, enough on that horse. Take us to another 15-1 here, which I was pretty shocked when I saw this on the morning line. The number 4, Grandmo the First for Victor Barboza Jr. MSL Aramillo is, I think that's how you say it, is aboard here, coming out of a third place finish in the Tampa Bay Derby by a neck to Domestic Product and No More Tomorrow. If I've learned anything from covering this with you guys the past couple years, never ever read into the Tampa Bay Derby Classic Car Wash and all those horses that finished second and third last year were just absolutely brutal. So at 15-1, if you're going to give me a 15-1, I'm more likely to go on the 3 with Pleasure and Irad than this.
I do have a question on the program. Why are the odds not there for the last race? Do we know? Why would those be omitted from the program?
Are they on all the other ones?
Or he's just zero.
Oh, on his last race. He might have just been running for purse money only.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one.
Interesting.
Oh. Remember, that was the day with the Tampa Bay Derby, the tote?
Oh.
The tote board was on Jeff.
I was going to say, I've never seen the odds for a last one.
Because like, he went off at 0-0.
So they don't even know what the odds were, because no one could even bet on this guy.
The tote board got hacked, and yeah, damn, that was the day. That's with it.
Right,
the,
so no one even knows what he fucking went off in his last race. Look, I agree with you, John Mark.
I had pick 4 alive that day, and I was like, wait a second, why? What's going on? And
we talked about that last week, too. Despite Tampa Bay Derby having the word Derby in, it's not great competition, like you said. So
very subpar race.
And even in a 10-horse field, I mean, still came in third by a neck, so you could easily slip him down to fourth. With the tote boards being out, do we even trust the late pace figure that day?
So
122. Does that not seem insane?
So going into that late pace figure, he went really slow that race, but looking at the times, he was running against a pace of a 25, a 51, a 76. It was extremely slow pace. He ridden third place the entire time, just barely stalked, and then just fired off at the end, and he still came in third, but he just saved. The pace was so slow, he could save a lot of energy. I don't know if that's going to repeat this race, but that 122 is impressive.
But it almost seems like an anomaly, and like you said, if the pace is that slow, it's very easy to kind of
I mean, typical paces for these Derby-type horses is like high 21, 22, second, first quarter mile.
And you said the first was 25?
25.3, so, and then, yeah. And then 45 is like your typical second, and then that's hitting at a 51 second. So it was very slow pace.
This is a total toss.
This is a different race.
It's a total toss for me, though. I just, there's no speed here for him for even to compete. And even on throwing that race out that you couldn't even bet on him in, the speed figures were horrible.
If we look back at the Tampa Bay Derby, if you look at the splits, they went the opening quarter in 25 flat.
That's what he was.
And then they went 51, like you just said. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. My bad. I was over here getting caught up reading the rest of the form.
Reading the pace.
I was actually looking at the number 5, Real Macho, at his pace over the last couple races.
That's bad. That's really bad.
That's slow.
That's really bad.
Look at that.
I think Duncan could run the first quarter in 25 seconds flat.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Nah. First 16.
All right. Moving along.
I don't think I'm faster than any horse.
No. None of us are.
Maybe a donkey.
Donkey.
Chad Jacinco almost was.
He did race a horse.
He did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in honor.
Almost
he
lost, was.
Though.
So he wasn't. And he actually got like a, it was, I don't remember the specifics, but I'm pretty sure he got like a, I don't know, 100-yard head start and like a couple second head start and still.
Dude, I just thought of $1 million idea for Keeneland. They should have Berion Brown race a horse.
What a $1 million idea.
Go Cats. I don't know. That was a million?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is that a $10,000
idea? Yeah, maybe like a $20 idea. Like.
I love it. I love it. So, all right, we'll move on down to the five. Real Macho, like I just referenced. Rohan Cristone is the trainer. This horse is out of Mucho Macho Man. Javier Castellano is aboard. Coming out of fourth place finish in that Fountain of Youth that a lot of these horses are coming out of. Sol, two wins in his career. He broke his maiden at Gulfstream back in November and then won a optional claimer at a mile back in February at 26-1, which is pretty impressive. Interesting to see they took Lasix off last time. Was 5-1 on the morning line in the Fountain of Youth and comes in fourth by 7 3/4. That's a pretty interesting note to me there, the fact that they took him off Lasix. I don't know that this horse wants anything more than a mile. The morning line here, sorry I was late to that, is 20-1, which is kind of juicy. But I still, that last race was not impressive, so probably a toss.
How bad was the fucking field at the Fountain of Youth that he was 5-1?
And it was a G2, Jacob. I was just about to say this. Is this the worst G2 of all
time? The Fountain of Youth was the five horse field. We had a lot of scratches.
I mean, that is an
absolute crash. No, not just coming in fourth, but coming in fourth by almost 8 lengths.
Right. Yeah, that was a horrible race.
With Frankie's Empire and Ladone Pro finishing.
So I guess that's why he's 5-1, but then he was probably, what, second to last.
Fourth favorite, yeah, right. Correct.
So that's a toss. I think we can all agree there. That will take us to the number six, Ladone Pro, who we just mentioned there coming in second in the Fountain of Youth behind Doorknock. But look, not nominated for the late nominee for the Triple Crown, sorry. And I think he'll be part of the pace. I think this is a better story than anything because that trainer. Kid just got here from Puerto Rico. Kid's only 20 years old. That trainer, Emil Cordero, for the number six, Ladone Pro. God, what's his morning line?
He's 20 years old.
That's a decade younger than us.
15-1 on the morning line.
Mm.
Find that pretty interesting. I will say very interesting. He was claimed off of Antonio Sano. Obviously hasn't ran that great since he's been in the barn. That Remsen performance was not good. Horse was basically pulled up that day, though, and it was muddy. Maybe didn't take well to that cold weather up in New York. But, I think it's a toss for me. That's a cool story. I wish I would have known that before, but that 20-1.
Yeah,
he was 15-1.
I like how he gets claimed, and then this 20-year-old just like boom, G2, two G2s, and now a G1. He's just like swinging for the fences.
He was 10 years old when I was illegally getting hammered at Derby.
And, no, right.
10 years ago.
And illegally, too. But yeah, I mean, he's hit the money last three times out. They give him 25 points on the road to the Derby.
Do you know what his rank is? It's actually kind of insane.
He hits the board. His rank is what?
It's 17th.
Yeah.
I looked at it today and I could not believe. I was like, I thought Ladone Pro was like done. Like, but he's 17th on the Kentucky Derby Trail. And great call, Jacob. If he comes in the board, there's a good chance Ladone Pro's in the Derby.
Look, if you draw a line through his Remsen, which we've talked about, muddy track, door knocks, Sierra Leone, drum roll please, good characters for the Remsen at Aqueduct in the slop there. So if you throw a line through that, always came in first or second.
And what I love is door knock won that race where he came in 30 lengths back, came in ninth. And then this last time out, he lost a door knock by just a little under 2 lengths. So it shows he can, and finishing in second behind him. So it shows he can still compete with the class. Like, that's a good one to throw out. It was in the mud. I agree with you, Jacob. Throw that one out, and he's in the money
first
every time.
First time really stepping up. Been off a couple layoffs since then, so should be primed and ready. Because especially, I think he's closer to 20-1, maybe higher at game
time. Dude, I hate this horse, but you guys are talking me in.
This side of the table doesn't like it, and the other side does, Duncan.
Mm.
What do we do in that scenario?
I think we, for once...
Double down.
Yeah.
Do we flip?
No, I think we, for once, actually just go with them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We flipped from our feeling.
And then they owe us one later.
All right, that's fine. All right. You're cool with that agreement?
No, good story. Bought for 20,000. Kid's only 20 years old. If he wins a derby, I mean,
asshole.
It'd be NBC written right now.
All right, well.
Go ahead and write the movie.
Uh-huh.
Decadent and Depraved claims rights to that movie.
Yes.
If it happens.
LaDom Bro.
Mm. And LeBron plays the jockey.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, shit. All right. Sorry.
Neil?
The Neil?
The trainer. Neil Cordero.
Mm. Yes.
I'm trying to think of like a young
Puerto Rican.
All right, we're moving on. On to the number 7, Catalytic. That is Safi Joseph Jr. Julian Leparue is aboard. Catalytic is 20-1 on the morning line. Only raced twice in his career. Broke his maiden pretty easily there at Gulfstream back in October. Took a big layoff to Tampa Bay. I do like to see this horse come second off the layoff. That is a pretty telling sign. I don't like the fact that he lost an optional claimer by 3/4. That does worry me a little bit, but especially at 6 furlongs, I don't know what to expect of this horse.
What is the morning line?
The morning line on this horse is 20-1.
Yeah, I mean, you're not even like gonna give me anything, Safi Joseph. And also, I mean, what the fuck, dude. No, I'm not even going to talk about him.
But I mean, there's just so much unknown.
Yeah, no, I mean, 20-1 is the biggest thing, question mark, obviously, going from 6 furlongs to 9 furlongs. I mean, that's a jump and a fucking half, dude. I'm for that reason alone, I'm tossing.
Yeah, his only time winning, too, he was in the lead up from the second call on. Won by 5 lengths, but, like, that's pretty much to the end of this race. I don't know. He's got – there's not enough information, and he just hasn't even raced the distance to know. He's improving and lightly raced, but that's about all.
Yeah. All right. That'll take us to the number 8, Seminole Chief. Honestly, probably going to be another toss. I think Joel Rosario will have him more forwardly placed for a best – that seems like his best run at it. It seems to handle the distance well enough. Last time out was on the Tapita just 2 weeks ago. So that would be quite the turnaround for me going for the number 8 Seminole Chief at what?
This horse is 30-1.
That sounds about right for me.
Expected higher, especially his deepest field and only stakes race, the Withers G3. There was 9 horses. He came in 9th by 45 lengths, and he was 11-1.
Pretty interesting. His last work
in the mud, though,
was on turf. His last workout was on turf.
At Palmetto.
What is it's on all weather track.
Yeah, they took that race off dirt and put it on the all weather. Every race that day was on all weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was.
The last time out at Gulfstream, it's basically a Tapita track for that $75,000 optional claimer, where he won at 15-1.
Isn't it
over odd, Oscar's World?
Isn't it odd that he does that turf workout on March 1st, and then they took the track off dirt.
Hasn't worked later, since.
He just happened to just get that lucky. Like, did a little turf workout, and then they just happened to take the track off dirt.
Pretty interesting. So, that's a toss for me as well. So, all right, down to the 9, Conquest Warrior, Claude McGahee, Jose Ortiz is aboard here. This horse was bought for $1 million. Back in the Keeneland September sale 2022. Like I said, Jose Ortiz aboard. Won last time out by 5 lengths in an optional claimer. Broke his maiden right before that at by 0.5 length. Had a lot of bullet workouts here on the form. Now, granted, he's not training at the best of places. Speed figs haven't been there. Late paces look good the last 2 times out. May improve with distance. I do like that he's ran in 1 1/8 before. But on the morning line, this horse, number 9, Conquest Warrior, is way too light for me at 3-1.
3-1 is tough, man. I thought I was getting kind of a little deal here. It's funny because this horse looking at his last two races, I mean, he has closed really well when you look at the numbers. In fifth by 3.5, wins by 0.5 lengths. Was leading down the stretch by 1.5 lengths, extended that to 5 lengths, but not the craziest late pace or the craziest speed figures overall going the mile and a mile and an eighth. So this will be a second time off a layoff, so I think there's a real shot here for the improving horse for Shug McGahey, the number 9 Conquest Warrior at 3-1, but probably going to keep as an under. 3-1 is just tough. That's a tough one. And I thought he was 5-1.
And just as a just to clarify out of curiosity, since we're about to beat him, what is Fierceness? Just to compare.
8-5.
And Hades was 5-2?
Yes. Sorry, 7-2 on Hades.
Mm. Ooh, really? 7-2. Okay, yeah. See that? Man, I don't know. I like Hades a lot more than Conquest Warrior, especially with that, too.
Well, you just mentioned him. The 10 Fierceness, Todd Pletcher, John Velasquez. Like we just said, 8-5 morning line. Y'all notice a trend on the form? Anybody else notice it? This is dumb me math, but wins by 11 length, comes in 7th by 20th. Wins by 6.25, comes in 3rd by 3.5. Are we going every other race with this horse? Win one, lose by a bunch. Win one, lose by a bunch. Win one.
Oh, sorry.
If we're going with the number statistical 10. Analysis on the 10 here.
Yeah, I said in the lazy or the Arkansas Derby that one of those horses was Jekyll and Hyde. This really is.
This is a Jekyll and Hyde horse.
So win this one and then lose the Derby.
Look at the speed figure in that juvenile. Like I said, nobody was beating him that day, but he ran a 1:12 speed figure. He goes 101. 77, 112, 89. Are we due for one in the three digits here?
I don't know. This horse has me boggled, especially with Hades beating him last time out.
As a 1-5 favorite.
I know that too.
I would like to see like a first time blinders or first time Lasix right here. But he is a good play for that.
He is the only horse really with a G1 win. Actually, the only horse who's competed in a G1.
I feel like there's always a huge asterisk on the Breeders' Cup Juvenile because they're 2-year-olds. They've all raced, like, once or twice at that point. I mean, he did have a Kentucky Derby prep race in the Champagne, but we know that... But Timberlake wasn't that race. That was also on the slot. I don't know.
Timberlake did beat him.
Rightful favorite here.
Bad.
Rightful favorite here. I'm willing to draw a line through the Holy Bull.
Yes. If
I don't know about that.
The number 10 Fierceness has anywhere close to his best race, he could easily blow the rest of this field out of the water.
He's won a $2 million G1.
I mean, not he's just got that, the class. His speed figure alone in that race is fucking incredible. In a 9-horse field,
overall speed of 112,
17-1 over Muth and Locked. Very impressive.
He might be about
He's literally...
So, his last time out in the Holy Bull, his one knock on him comes in third by 3.5 lengths that day. He, as you can see, pinballed at the start. Really, really did not have a good break that day. And as you know, that can be a big hamper on a horse who has had a nice layoff. Went from early November to not racing again until February for that race. So, you give him another 8 weeks before this race. So if you can draw a line through that Holy Bull, Fierceness could easily take this horse or take this race. Easily. Like, I mean, if he runs quarter as good as his best race, he could kill this race.
I agree with you, Jacob.
Could win by 5 lengths.
Sorry, that noise you heard from my computer. I'm pulling up the YouTube video. What's it called?
Advertisement.
Holy Bull. Yes. The Holy Bull. I want to see a start.
In 1973.
Why the hell is it pulling up 1973?
He literally is watching the 1973.
There we go.
Here we go. Yes, Secretariat.
Right, let's see it.
In the whole.
Do an on-set analysis.
Yeah. I will say, though, it's very scary when there's such a high ceiling and such a low floor.
I mean, he got pinched so bad at the start there.
Wait, will you turn?
Very bad. He got pinched very bad at the start there. He's a 7 right here. See him just, he just gets absolutely squished between the 6 and the 8.
Pinball is actually a great term for that.
That's a great term. Mm-hmm. And then he gets stuck outside. He's rubbing up against that 8 going 4 wide in the first turn. That's just a horrible trip.
I trust Todd Pletcher and Rapole. I really do.
That all right, his horse. You know what? Let's ride with fierceness.
Yeah. I mean, there was a reason he was, what, 5-1 that 1-5, rather.
Yeah, that day. Correct. Like, that day. Yeah, it's just a horrible jump.
Mm-hmm.
So
I also want to add this, too. If it wasn't for that champagne in the slop, granted, but then he had his redemption in the Holy Bull because the Breeders' Cup Juvenile obviously killed it. I feel like he's like the front runner, and he like is getting the Forte storyline right now. Like, this is the best horse going in the Derby. Everyone would know fierceness. But it's just like he's thrown two big clunkers.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's thrown one, but yeah. I mean, the champagne as well, but...
It was in the slop, but it's still...
No, yeah. I mean, his first time out where he won by 11 lengths in a pretty good size maiden race, he was the 1-1 favorite. So he was bred for this. Like, he's moving on. So really like the number 10 fierceness there. But that will take us on to the number 11, Iris's Dream. Not Triple Crown nominated, probably for a reason. I think this ownership group is definitely dreaming here. He has no shot, in my opinion. Probably tossing him, optional maiden claiming winner last time out at 50,000 on the turf at Gulfstream, but I'd like to hear his odds to amuse me, solidify my choice of tossing him. But
the only thing to say, yeah, is last time out, impressive win going almost the distance on the turf, winning by 7 3 lengths, but it was a 50K. Purse. I mean, there is no class there. I
30-1 on the morning line.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see him coming in.
Should be 50-1.
You want to talk should about be 50 to the 1. Owner Iris Cotto? It really is his dream.
Yeah, this was going to fall off.
Also, not Triple Crown nominee.
Right. Yeah.
Let's do picks. I kind of want to go first because I don't want anyone to pick it. I'm taking Hades.
So you don't want Jacob to pick it.
No, I don't think Jacob was going to pick him.
I probably will.
I want Hades. I just think that this horse is in the right place, right time. Only 3 times out. Going to beat fierceness again.
I'll go with the number 10 fierceness. I'm going to go with fierceness. I think he comes back with his best stuff here. I'm willing to cross a line through that Holy Bull. I think this horse is neck head above everybody else. Setting him up for a Derby run. God, bad voice crack. Derby run.
I'm also going fierceness, too. I'm with you, Joe Mark. I think this horse is going to be the one to win.
Yeah, then I will... I'll take a chance with the Shug McGahee Conquest Warrior.
I like it.
Yeah, I like both of your all's picks, or all 3 of your all's picks on those 2 horses, but... I'll stick with the Conquest Warrior.
We kind of went chalk there.
I know.
We did go very chalk.
It's a very...
I think, honestly, the best next shot is a horse like Ladombro that I don't think makes
Ladombro. That's a big step down.
I'll take any of those, or a select number of those on an under, but I think this win, I mean, the Florida Derby usually sets up for one of the favorites going into the Derby.
Yep.
No, yeah. So that will do us for this evening. Should be a fucking excellent week of racing. What are we, like 35 days out from the Derby?
Yep, 35 days. I think that's exactly what it is.
Hell yeah.
I saw it today. It was 30-something.
Derby 150. All right, boys.
Deuces.
Tip your teller.